This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Mm-hmm. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thought I'd play your little jazz there. It fits the morning. Anyway, I want to share with you today, there's a thousand things, and I'm going to talk maybe two of them, or three of them, or four. But for the seniors out there and other homeowners or people that pay water bills or what have you, I was planning to talk extensively about the Board of Water Supply, and there's a lot of problems with the Board of Water Supply, but because they're semi-autonomous, meaning they get to play, if it's union issues and what have you, their city. But when it comes to we knowing what it is that they do, they become private. And so they, whatever's convenient for the moment or for the argument, that's the flag they run up the pole. So what I can tell you is that it's been talked about briefly or a cursory discussion, but there are incidences and evidence that exists suggesting that a full-blown federal investigation of fraud on the part of this agency, the Board of Water Supply. And I'll try and share some of those things that I believe, in my opinion, a full investigation to even start with the Attorney General's office, if we could get it, and the U.S. Attorney. I believe that there are some things here. First of all, our safety and our health and welfare. We know that there is some kind of game going on with the state health department and the clean water, the drinking water branch, and just the health department itself. Then we know internally within Board of Water Supply, you take, for example, when the mayor can appoint the director, as we saw in Wayne Hashiro, that was the managing director for Mufi Hanneman and went over there. But what's happening is that, would you know that they are... And I want you to look at your bills, if especially you seniors out there. Look at your water bills and look on the back to see if you see the phrase computer estimate. And what is happening, or the reason I want you to look at that, is that there has been this practice, I'm told now, for about 4 years, 3 to 4 years, because they've changed over to a new system. And that system is one of which it went from the AMR, they call it, and they have manual readers that walk around and look at it. But they've gone electronic, and there are boxes that sense and send radio signals. But the battery dies in them, for example. Or you may have an underground leak that goes undetected. So with their machines not working, there's a thing called a CCB system, and that's, I'm told, that is the system that was built or designed and developed by Oracle, the gentleman that just bought Lanai, the island of Larry Ellison. And they were originally, Border Water Supply was on a system that was DOS-based, computer language. But the problem was they know that the system is flawed, and so they rely on a computer estimate. So in other words, you might see that your bill went sky high 1 month, low or go higher, and you would never know, and they are not timely in giving you the bills or the response. So what they're doing to save money, it's alleged now, that they won't hire people to have sufficient staff, being Border Water Supply. What they're doing, they're actually taking these machines and installing them and relying on those machines and relying on the computer estimates, so that they're taking an average of whatever they're doing with this computer system. The main concern is that we are being ripped off, for lack of better words. And I'm going to share with you some of the, just a few. You could Google this if you like, and I'll share with you why I think it's unfortunate that as a senior citizen, you're on, and not just seniors, but you're on a fixed income, and you have limited resources. But imagine going to the bank and finding that you have direct deposit, a direct payment, and you find that your money is gone. Because you've been drained, a water bill has drained your savings or drained your account. Can you imagine that? Well, there are some instances where people are hitting financial dire strait to meet just to pay water bills. And when you talk about sewage and water combined, it's a large amount. But this system that they have chosen and relying on now, I'm going to share with you just in the city of Quincy on the mainland. I'll read you this article. The Mayor Thomas Koch announced a sweeping $7 million, a two-year project to replace every residential water meter in Quincy in a move that will end estimated charges, fluctuating bills, and unmetered water usage. Quote, "This is a vital step in our ongoing program to improve our water and sewer operations, and when we are finished, our residents can expect fair and accurate billing without the fluctuations caused by estimates and other issues," Koch said. "We have taken dramatic steps to curtail leaks, chronic billing problems, and unmetered access over the last 2 years, all of which have helped us hold down the rate increases charged by the water department." So if other cities are experiencing that, and they seem to be a little more honest and a little more aggressive and oversight and less politically motivated than we find in this town, I would say that if others are experiencing, and they're honest people, and we are experiencing bills and just some unfair metering and whatever, surely there should be an investigation. Surely Caldwell, for example, the mayor here, instead of running out and showing us how to scoop coal plane out of the back of a truck, which they've been doing for the last 18,000 years, and stamping it with the feet, as I've described on the show, and tell us he's going to fix it by using the same old method, he could go and ask for an audit or an investigation, but an independent audit, one not self-induced, not overseen by the city. But there are some serious problems with this. And just to give you a little example there, in the customer care service, which all of us may on occasion have to deal with, and I'm going to say this with some caution, but also with some concerns that you have to be careful what you read on the internet and at times, as in anything. But there is Miss Susan S. Uesugi, who is the board, a member of the Board of Water Supply, and she handles the customer service. So this is, if you go to Zoom Info, this is the kind of things, and I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, and this week I'm going to be inquiring. But what I'm seeing here is rather alarming in that, if true, this is an example of why we need to clean house and pay more attention to the Board of Water Supply. In Zoom Info, that's a business profile, a company that collects the profile of businesses and individuals. And in that, they report that Susan Uesugi's employment history, section director for American Water Works Hawaii section, board membership and affiliations. She's a trustee of the American Water Works Association, and she is a board member of the AWWA Hawaii section. And she's a trustee of the Bowers and Kubota Consulting. Now, why would a individual working for the Board of Water Supply, who is quasi-city, state, or city private, why would she be working or be a trustee, as if true, as this document reports? Why would she be a trustee on the board of a company that are affiliated with a company that get city contracts or get contracts to do work for the Board of Water Supply, while she also works as a customer service or customer service office? So something is wrong there, and I believe that she needs to give us an explanation, and the mayor needs to ask some questions. What I'm told is that the incompetence, as I read last week, talking about the incompetence and what is happening, that the system is being used now that they've incorporated into the scheme of things, was originally to save money and to save. If you look at their profit in the annual profit, it shows pretty good. But here is what they said for introducing the AMRs. This is what they claim, and that is the automatic metering. So here's what happens. They state this is Cognis Consulting LLC that did a publication talking about Hawaiian water quality utility quantifies process improvement to justify AMR. So the Board of Water Supply, which serves about 1 million people on the island of Oahu through about 150,000 metered connections, began a system-wide installation of a mobile radio in January. The utility's justification for the system is based on process improvement and customer service, as well as the elimination of manual meter reading. With the manual meter reader, you likely to get someone to walk up and they see and that it's wrong, they'll make a notation of it and repair it. Or if the batteries are gone dead in the box, they will replace the batteries. But because they are working on the Ukupau system that I'm informed, you don't get that. And then also you don't have the staff that is matching the need. So what happens is this is what they say, that on cycle reading, about 20 meter readers read most meters bimonthly. This is before AMR. With AMR, one meter reader reads all small meters monthly. So you've knocked out 19 meter readers once you put the AMR, if the AMR was efficient. Skipped reads. Follow-up meter readers or distribution operations staff conduct rereads after receiving get red service request forms. Largely eliminated, it says that with the AMR, remaining skip reads can be estimated based on monthly consumption data. How do you, this computer estimate, and I'm told with Oracle, there are some glitches in that, the CCB, that it's not accurate, and they know it's not, and there are memos to that effect. But the Board of Water Supply, I'm told, allegedly is actually relying on this system and concealing the fact that they have no staff to adequately go out and physically monitor this, and then relying on the estimate. As I said in one, and you can see many other cities have found that this is a problem with the AMR. So final reads, it says, as under the function section, any finals not obtained within 10 days of customers' calls are estimated. Board of Water Supply closes curb stop if premises are to be vacant for more than a few days. Then with AMR, most reads will be scheduled for off-cycle reading. In many cases, reliable estimates enable instant final bill transaction processing in many cases while customer is on phone. Now, what I'm hearing out there is that it's difficult to even get a phone call through. But this was the system that they portrayed and said that it was going to be the cat's meow. So anyway, I'm going to continue with this. I'll entertain this call here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, sir. I want to comment about those digital meters.
Mm-hmm.
They're ultimately corruptible because of computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
They can have their way with you any way they want. And I'm happy to hear that you're all over the utility water company, but somehow I haven't, over the last 4 or 5 months, heard anybody pick up and bring forward the story about HECO and their overcharging and their customer complaint line.
Yep, you hit it on the head, and I was going to be mentioning HECO because it's the same practice. I'm getting the same complaints, and if you remember way back, you had that problem.
Yes, sir, and I'm still working through it. I talked to Jerry Peters on mm-hmm. Fix It Friday, and he's going to talk to some subcontractors because not only did they come out and look at my meter, reread it twice, they took it in and tested it, said it was fine,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted me to be responsible for what has been years of about 40 kilowatt hours of electrical uses, which is one box fan. I got gas, water, I got gas, stove. I got all my breakers turned off now.
Mm-hmm.
And customer service is just one way with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make the point that there's a ditto with the electric company, and I'll let you continue with your prepared comments.
Yeah, well, call back if you have any other, or you can stay on and comment if you, because it takes time to sort through this nonsense, because what they'll do, they'll lie to you.
Yeah, and they put a digital power meter on my place also.
They drag their feet in getting back to you.
Yes, they do.
And they're motivated because there's big profit in screwing the people.
It seems that way, sir.
No, it is that way because I'm learning that there are senior citizens out there struggling to deal with just the water bills and they look on the back of the bills, they see corrected, computer corrected.
Have you ever heard of weighted average pricing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I was introduced to that in the car business, and I think September, October was a weighted average pricing for the power company because they made a transition there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather hang up now and listen to your comments because you're on a roll, and I'd like to hear the HECO section.
And stay dry now because, you know.
Yes, sir, I have an umbrella.
Okay.
Thanks for being on the air.
All right, you're welcome. Now, I'm trying to toss this around so that it can make sense, they got the things called ECR. This is the Electronic Communications Register. The most the easiest synonym, acronym that I can use is BS. And I apologize for the old of you that understand that language, but this is what it is. We talk about them putting contaminants in the water. Recently, in the last couple of weeks, we talked about that at Ina Hina, and too stupid to know that you drain the water out of a tank if you're going to seal the holes. You don't leave the water in and put the cement or the patching or the contaminant or the chemicals or the epoxy to seal it while the water is in. I mean, I think children in second and third grade learn that basic principle, that things are water soluble and they probably need to be dry to affix to an area. But it's the, for the sake of this discussion, I'm going to drop the W and call it the BS. And that's what it is, because we've seen many, many complaints from the Board of Water Supply. And someone asked me the other day when I was speaking with them, they said, well, you know, when we had the Chromium 6 issue, you worked with them. Well, yeah, wherever there's something is, I believe that is there's a things need to be spoken to truthfully, you do that. You don't beat up on people for everything they do, especially if you know that what is happening is not factual or not properly documented. But the reality is we don't know what it is that goes on in the Board of Water Supply other than we do know that we have to pay them. That we know. We also know that now if you look at it, if there was an audit done on the hiring, these people that work there, there is a culture of bigotry, racism, and everything else, and theft, thievery in that system. You go and look up the makeup of the hiring and who's hired and how the mayor and others can appoint. And you, I think that somewhere down the line, the political implications and the benefit for putting in someone like Hashiro, he was great at collecting monies from contractors. So Hanneman felt in the campaign of things and his efforts to become Grand Poo-Pah of the United Nations of Hawaii, he decided to put Wayne Hashiro in there. But only after Wayne had gone down into New Orleans and made a boo-boo and had some major complaints that I'm informed, the allegations is that Mufi had to move him. But moving him to an area where the money was still flowing and you can skim money off the top and the contractors would get money and direct it or give donations there, nothing has changed. But it troubles me that senior citizens who have worked and struggled, and it's that one floating factor there, that unpredictable behavior, that agency or that entity, the BS or the Board of Water Supply, and something's wrong. There's absolutely no way it should be able to operate the way it operates, the secrecy, and to be able to send out bills and how do you contest it? How do you put together a challenge, a legal challenge, as an individual? And unfortunately, for most of us, it's a private matter. So how do you know what the other fellow is getting? How bad the other person is getting screwed at the meter? So this AMR that we were talking about, this is before they installed it. This is what was happening, they're saying. The customer high bill inquiries. Before the AMR, field investigator usually dispatched in response to customer complaint. Now, with AMR, monthly consumption data enables Board of Water Supply to notify customers of atypical consumption before bill is received. Customer service representatives can review monthly consumption rate or history on the telephone. I'd like to know, and my experience is you barely can get through. If some of you can call up and share, 524-1080 is a number. I'd like to hear from you. Any of you that have had problems out there, I'd like to hear that, because I'm going to be filing a request for some information and trying to sort through this, because I suspect there's something terribly wrong here, not just by an accident or some incidences of whether things just went bad or oversight that were overlooked. I believe, in my opinion, that there is something terribly wrong and it's conspiratorial, And imagine the federal side of it, all the federal properties. We as taxpayers are footing that bill if they're doing corrective estimates or computer estimates in the public housings, for example. But anyway, please, if you would, I would like to hear some of the stories firsthand from you. This is, I don't know how to contact. I can't knock on every door and ask you if you've had any experience. But I'd like to hear so that I can go back and quantify and in my request for information the various issues that you've experienced. But going back, when they install, the benefit they say with AMR is monthly consumption data enables bottled water supply to notify customers of atypical consumption before a bill is received. Customer service representative can review monthly consumption history on the telephone. High bills resulting from an actual read after an estimate will be reduced. High bills resulting from an actual read after an estimate will be reduced. Delinquencies and collections, this is before, they say, with the AMR. Some customers with high bills are slow to pay. Many customers dispute consumption. When they put AMR in, they're saying that AMR will fix that, and the monthly meter readings and proactive high consumption notification will alleviate some disputes. Internally generated high bill, this is before the AMR, follow-up meter reader dispatch to confirm reading. Well, that's not true, because if you've cut the staff like from 20 to 1 because you installed the system, how on earth can one person working under the UKIPAL system go and respond to the number of complaints to address this specific issue aspect of it? The reading, and this is what they're saying with the AMR, the reading is probably correct. Most bills can just be sent. Customers will call if there is a problem. So again, internally generated low bills. Follow up on meter reader dispatch to confirm meter reader. Meter service with the AMR, meter services crew dispatched to inspect or change meter. They know that they're having problems with this meter, and as it was pointed out to me, some of the questions that should be asked about this would be, how many residential housings or properties are there, and how many bills go out per month to residences? How many bills are computer estimated? How long have they been computer estimated? And for you, those of you that, if you want to, it was pointed out, and you can go to their website too and look it up if you have access to a computer, but go out to your water meter, and generally found on the sidewalk, and you can lift the cover up, and look and see if you see a little dial, a speedometer, like a car speedometer turning. You either have water on, or if you go back in the house and make sure everything is shut off, no water, no faucets or anything, no sprinklers running, and if you see that little dial moving or those numbers moving, then you have a leak. And instead of coming out and fixing it, they do a computer corrective measure, which then jacks you up and takes your money from you. Because it's never going to be in your favor. And what if you were traveling and went away for 3 weeks or a month or 2 months or whatever and had some need to have your house vacant and you had a leak? You got to pay for that. Do they come and check that and notify you? No, they do a corrective action on your bill. So in the federal government aspect, like all of the military bases and all, what are they doing there? If they've cut back on the staff, where and how are they addressing these problems? So here's what they say about the meter maintenance. Small meters are changed every 20 years. Large meters have more frequent testing and maintenance programs. Small meter populations consist of at least 20 age groups and 5 makes of meters, resulting in numerous age make classes. Now, when the AMR was installed, they're claiming annual statistical sampling of age make classes results in fewer tests, with sampling based on the consumption of age. Border water supply can allow age make classes to age until samples fail. 3-year installations and 2 makes of meters result in fewer age make classes. I mean, it's gobbledygook when you read it. How are you supposed, and I tried to sort through it, and I read it 3 or 4 times. How are they thinking that you and I, as the common or the layman, to figure this out? So built into the system now is that you cut the staff who would be able to physically walk up and check, and then in turn be more proactive and take an immediate action, or at least you got a human being there involved. But instead, the AMRs. But what if the AMR is broken? Or what if the transmission, when they drive by, it's not working? You think they're going to get out of the car when they've cut it back like 19 people? So the system is, this is what they give you an idea of. They're still driving up the prices, but in this study, the Cognos study or the report, it says that Table 2 estimated border water supply leaders have incorporated these elements into the utility's ongoing organization-wide competitiveness program. Estimated staff reduction after full deployment of AMR. This is what they say. Meter reading. Before AMR, 3 supervisors and 20 meter readers. Now with AMR, 1 supervisor and 3 meter readers. Billing. 1 supervisor during, this is before AMR, there would be 1 supervisor, 6 pre-audit clerks, and 2 accountants. So nothing drastically changed other than there would be 1 supervisor with the AMRs. There would be 1 supervisor, and then there's 2 pre-audit clerks. And remember, it was 6 originally, and then now it's 2 pre-audit clerks. And then the state, the same things for accountants because, hey, when the money's flowing, you don't need more accountants. You just need to, you know. So customer service investigations. Listen to this. You know something is wrong. There's a fly in the ointment when we see this kind of change. Customer service investigation. So you call up and you have a problem, and this would be the first integral part of addressing unfair billing or what have you, or overcharges or what. So at the time, before the AMR, they had 3 supervisors and 15 investigators. So that kind of favored you, the customer. But now, with the AMR, they projected 1 supervisor and 9 investigators. So you have a difference there. Originally 15 investigators to come out and weigh the facts and do an investigation, and possibly you would benefit. Now it's 9. So let's count the sick leave, the ukapau, the willingness and the laziness, the factor of laziness, and you know how not everybody is going to be efficient in their daily activity or in their works. So you can see now how the Board of Water Supply is sticking it to you and I at the faucet. Customer service. So originally now, look at all these major cuts. So if you are having problems, this may explain. This was the projected, what they had said that would benefit you, the customer, how things would work out, because electronically it would be more efficient. Customer service. At there were 3 supervisors, 7 CSRs, and three clerks. Well, they cut one supervisor when they installed AMR, five CSRs, so they lost two, and they only have one clerk. And in collections. Now, this is when they want their money. Now, you follow this on collections. Two supervisors before and after two supervisors. In collections before, two accountants. Nothing changed there either. Two accountants after the AMR was put in. Collectors, six collectors, and then they reduced it to five. And four collections, CSRs, and they remain four CSRs or collection CSRs once they install it. So it's about the money. When it favors them, they seem to nothing drastically changed as far as representation of staff because they want their money. They want to get their paws on your money. And the meter services people, they had two supervisors for that and before, and 14 meter mechanics. This was before the AMRs went in. After the AMRs went in, they had two supervisors, nothing changed, and 11 meter mechanics. So why would there be a problem? Distribution of maintenance, they say in this chart, 77 pipe fitters before the AMR. After the AMR was 76 pipe fitters. So you would think everything would lean toward efficiency and effectiveness on trying to reduce the cost to the customer and responding to the customer or the user. But instead, it seems to, and it speaks to, it suggests to me that what this is about, it's about money. It's about an autonomous, a semi-autonomous entity that has gotten into our affairs as people, as citizens, and sucking us dry, taking our hard-earned monies and squandering it, or at least making it difficult to follow. And I don't know what the solution is, but I can tell you when we rely on this kind of management, and I'm having several people that are former and current people that work there at the Board of Water Supply, and let me tell you, there are certain things that I'm having to work around because they would obviously know the source. But I'm going to try. There's some things that are real interesting that you might find important and worthwhile using if you have to compete or go back to them and correct a bill of yours. I'm told there are some things in there that just unbelievably wrong. And there is no real oversight and willingness to correct it on behalf of the customers. So back to this Uesugi. If, in fact, that Zoom Info is right and she's a trustee on Bowers and Kubota Consulting, she's able to sit in Board of Water Supply meetings, make decisions and all, and then what's to prevent her from, if in fact this Zoom Info is accurate, and I don't have any reason to say that it doesn't, what's to say that the company that she's a trustee with is not getting inside information? What's to prevent that? Or contract information, or bid information, or jobs coming up, or what have you. Why would that even be there? Why would they allow that or tolerate her presence in that capacity if, in fact, as reported, she is a trustee of the board of the Bowers and Kubota? So one of the biggest complaints that I've heard was the people can't get into the telephone, get into that office. And I've tried calling, and you go on the website, and they're kind of helpful, but I find myself making, whenever I want something, making three or four phone calls to find the right person. So what I'm going to be asking is that how long has the computer estimates and how long are we going to continue to rely on this? Why haven't they told us that the CCB, or the one that Oracle, the new one, the system, why haven't they told us that they're having problems with that? And do they use the estimates longer than 30 days, the corrective estimates or the computer estimates? Do they use that longer than 30 days? Is it 45 days? How long are they going to go with this? And then what is the accepted length? Is there a rule on how long of a time they can use the estimate? Because you would think it, because it benefits them, would they be inclined or encouraged to change it? So I don't have all the answers, and I know that it was probably cockeyed, but it is equally puzzling as to try and put it together and talk about it over the air. And I'm going to ask the Board of Water Supply and ask Uesugi to come in and sit down and talk with us so that you, the listeners, can figure out, get an idea of what it is. So, again, the Electronic Communications Register started reporting broken ECRs, which led to computer estimates. So, again, that's why it is important you should have had an increase in maintenance people and field people to go out and repair. But instead, there was a decrease, and then they incorporated and start to rely on the AMRs. And there's the, they call it the tech model of C&B software. What that is that it deals with utilities and systems and ratings and reporting and financial things. This is what that Oracle invented or wrote up or developed the software. So anyway, the trick here is, and I point it out again and I repeat it, is that they're relying on the computer corrections or estimates to avoid hiring people. Hiring people means more cost to them. Relying on the corrected estimates or computer estimates means more profit to them, in my opinion. So, see, as we've talked about it, the manual readers, they used to walk the streets and go up. And but again, remember that Hooky Powell system? I think the city has it with the garbage people as well, or the waste collectors and in that department. They are allowed to work, get so much done in a certain number of hours, and then they can take the rest of the day off in an eight-hour period. So what you want to look for is that if you have an underground water leak, it can go undetected, and you don't know what you're paying because they use the computer estimate. So really, you may not be using as much, but they see a fluctuation or an increase, and they don't come out and fix it because they would benefit by not going out and fixing it. They can continue to charge you an estimate, an estimated cost. So anyway, that's basically it on that subject. And I try to put it together and think, well, gee, ECRs, BCRs, BWS, Board of Water Supply, and on and on and on. But the problem is we're getting ripped. And I don't know, maybe if some of you are just rich enough, this doesn't matter, and it means nothing. But they say that in one of the reports here, this Cognis report, it just talked about, increased registration brings additional revenue. Board of Water Supply collects about $95 million per year in consumption and account charges. Utility managers conducted accuracy tests for samples of meters in service and projected that replacing old meters would result in an increase in registration of about 5%, bringing additional revenue of about $1 million per year. Go and follow their financial reports. Now, some say they are a nonprofit, but I don't know that to be the truth, and I'm going to do a little more research on it. But the analysis indicate positive cash flow. Financial projections developed during the AMR study included a multi-year analysis to determine how AMR systems would affect cash flow during the 20-year planning horizon. The plan accounts for replacing AMR's electronics after 15 years and meters after 20 years. But remember, they're relying on batteries to get this done. Ever-ready batteries or whatever batteries they have in, AA batteries. And you and I know how long they last. So it's inviting trouble, to be honest with you. And so the everything points to saving money for them, making profit for them in this report. You know, the major benefits of AMR, as they claim in the report, include more than just automating existing functions, redesigning customer service processes, and redistributing staff skills and responsibilities will enable significant productivity increases. Without changes in thinking and business practices, the full benefit of the system would be difficult to conceive and impossible to achieve. So they seem to be achieving something. I haven't heard any screams or crying, and what they're seeking to achieve is profit at our expense. So anyway, if you would like to join me in the second hour, please do so, and see you next hour.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. By reaching out to It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a couple of things out there. I hear quite often The buzz is Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa may be coming back to serve to become governor, and we know that the deceased Senator Danny Noy said that he recommended or nominated her to be named for the Senate position or what have you, where Mr. Schatz was put in his position. Let me say this. We need to look closely at Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa. Now, if your children hung out with certain elements, you'd be concerned. If your children kept popping up with things that they can't afford and trouble, and for every time there was an arrest, your child was there or something was going on, you'd take a second look as a responsible parent. So I'm going to talk briefly and say to you that Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa, we need to give greater scrutiny to her relationships and her behavior as it relates to the Jeff Stones, the John Sousas, the George Buddy Ramos, the Hospodar, and all of that. And we'll talk about that. I'll entertain this call here. But I want to just say to you that this is an era where we become smarter voters, and we have all the information out there at our fingertips. It's just a matter of incorporating these thoughts and in these activities into our thoughts and making decisions. So I'm going to get this call, and we'll see. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Yes, sir. By the end of my call, I'll roll it over into what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But the darker side of this people's bank accounts getting drained
mm-hmm.
is that their other checks will bounce, and then they got to recover from that, and they have to survive $60 whatever it is fees
mm-hmm.
if you check bounces and stuff like that.
This is
okay, now there's a military, industrial, police, hospital, jail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera complex. There's a lawlessness in the land. There's computer programmer hackers that are so smart that this new wave of war is going to be economic, and somebody can hack into all these digital systems and break people down one at a time and carry them away and then break more down and carry them away. And what are we going to do about it? We got to end the lawlessness. We got to end the cronyism. And you can go from there, sir.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, sir.
The now, some of you go away and might dismiss all of this, but I'm not just a rock sitting alongside of the road. And sometimes you might also want to stop and, even if it was, examine a rock alongside the road, because it sees everything that goes by, every bird that comes along, everything that happens. It just sits there. And, in fact, it'll sit there longer than you and I unless we move it. So the logic there is pay attention to some things and some people. And this issue with Senator or former state senator Colleen Hanabusa and now Congresswoman Hanabusa, Colleen Hanabusa. Currently, there is a case in court where her husband John Sousa III and George Grace III is a lawsuit. And I've spoken and done some reading on this, and I must tell you, while I can't speak to all the particulars, and I hope to get greater details, but I'm intrigued by, yet we know about the house that her husband bought and was able to sell it for a grand profit. We know about that. But that was we forgave that or whatever we did. Then we know that she sued the city or raised a legal issue against the city regarding the landfill. Okay. But here's what I've learned. And she married Mr. Sousa in 2008. But he sold the business called Poyle Trucking to George Grace. And from my knowledge and understanding of that was this business was a trucking company, and what I wasn't aware that part of that business was to service the replenishment of the sand on the beaches there and the lagoons at Coalina and cutting grass and clearing the spillways. So Grace bought the business as he described it, and it was a deal where he would buy the trucking first and be sold the that portion which did the sand and all of that later. And what then happens, I'm told, and I'm speaking to Grace, and that this situation was that Sousa retained that portion of the business where there was a cash flow coming in from for a while, and sold it to a gentleman named Hospodar, a former HPD who was convicted and now heads the Coalina security, or one of the securities or whatever, the I don't know how many security companies, but he's affiliated. And he's bought a house there. So Colleen Hanabusa, a congresswoman, I'll give you that much, Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa and her husband has purchased apparently land there, or right there at the base of the landfill. Now, if you were suing the landfill because the city because it was dirty and nasty and created problems and reduced the cost of your properties or all of those ugly things that landfills do, why would you buy land or obtain land at the entrance, near the entrance, which it's still, you would think one would move far, far away because you're already embroiled in a lawsuit. Why would you buy land or acquire land and then build structures? So I contacted the Department of Planning and Permitting because I'm thinking you can't be Mary Poppins at every drug bust. Every time the police kick the door down, there's Mary Poppins sitting there. Eventually, you have the right to draw the conclusion that either Mary Poppins is a drug dealer or a user or something involved with the business of the questionable business. So I'm asking the question, if in fact this situation is, we need to have an investigation. We need to have the opportunity for Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa, before we endow or place on her any more trust or give her any more accolades, we need to know, why is it that this collection of people that exist out there, that how did they gravitate to her? And I'm told when I'm interviewing George Grace, I'm learning that Colleen Hanabusa's husband is filed a lawsuit against him, and her attorney, but the family of George Sousa, whoever is Mark Bennett. So the question is this a power play? Is it, I mean, lawsuits, I mean, people have sued me, and it's still not true until it's proven in court and what have you. I'll give you that much. But there's just too many questions. And in discussing this, I'm thinking, how does one become under the controls or the influences of private business? How does big business, and I've always been curious about that, how does big businesses get into the pocket or have control or strings attached to a democratically elected government official when they're supposed to be independent, separate, and judging things ideally on facts and specifics? How is it that she gravitated to Jeff Stone's compound there, Coalina, and all of this behavior? So what I – in interviewing or speaking with Grace, I found that he's a man that does not read or write, but he embraced John Sousa, as he describes it. And the deal was that he would be able to buy the other half. That's what he's telling me now. I don't know all of the facts, but this is – I'm quoting him. But the problem is that in looking at this, what Grace informed me, what enticed him, that part of this business, there was an agreement or an unspoken rule that all of the trucking that would be in or out of Coalina were to be diverted or directed to Pueo Trucking. I'm quoting George Grace. So, and I'm now curious, if this is true, is this one way politicians can set up a business and be favored? And so you and I would never know what is going on because that is something unspoken, unwritten, but the practice is there and we wouldn't be able to quantify it. So what I'm asking right now is to say that I look at the property right across from the landfill, right next, as you drive into the landfill, it would be the northern direction toward the Nanakuli side. There are some houses there. And there is a 92417, an address on the box, and then a 9242 Farrington Highway. So I've called the city DPP, and I've looked on the list. One of those facilities, the structures, supposedly was non-existent. It was supposed to have been razed and just torn down. But there's a huge barn there. And in looking at this, all of this has been erected, and there's been Hospodar, the former HPD officer, who has purchased the other half of the business that did the sand cleaning and the grass and what have you, and who has recently sold it to another company. He has a property there. The property at 402 shows up in his name, but I can't see anything on the Pueo Enterprises or yet and for that address. And Monday morning, I will be asking the questions and following up. Now, this is, again, I'm just starting to ask these questions, and I think that before it goes any further, we as taxpayers and voters should get the straight skinny and get an explanation from Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa to find out what it is. What is her real dealings? If, in fact, they have property there, did she move to Nanakuli? Or what is actually going on? Not Nuuanu, I'm sorry, where she claimed she was going to move. I don't know, and hopefully to find out. But I'm a little concerned because, once again, you're not guilty because you associate with things, with people, but there's this web that has been woven, a spun. And I, as a taxpayer, I, as a citizen, ask the question, do we have some influences going on that we, as citizens, need to know about, or we should get the straight skinny? And I understand that this lawsuit that exists now, it's possible they'll be moving for summary judgment. But what I was told is that this thing is they're demanding payment. So my question is, if in fact it was sold to Hospodar, but was promised to Grace, as he stated, where is the money? Where is the accounting? I looked at there was some things where there was a gift from Souza's company to Colleen's staff. Dinners. I didn't see that reported, and I don't know if the Ethics Department, the State Ethics, require that. This is during her senatorial time, state senator. But there's a lot of things that I'm curious about. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Well, comment. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
This 2 pieces of property across from the dump. Now, who would buy property across from a dump unless they had some kind of inside scoop that this piece of property would be worth way more money than what they paid for it at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think that is part of this deal that's going on?
I'm puzzled because, I start off thinking if, in fact, they do own this, Didn't they go through that? Didn't the public ask questions before? And Jeff Stone also had a piece of property over there. I think he had purchased it and then started selling it back to them. I don't have the answers, Bob.
It just doesn't make any sense why somebody would first this guy Souza, he ain't no dummy, and neither is Colleen a dummy. Why would they buy property or be invested in some shape or form across from a dump?
Especially after she's
does that make any sense to anybody out there, I wonder?
And she's been fighting them, right, the dump, and has represented some of the association or been involved in... I don't know. I'm not the brightest bulb in the lamp, but something.
I just think we got to turn over some more rocks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there's something hiding under here. And another thing, the Colinda, you know what?
Colina,
excuse me.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
They have a boat place there, a harbor, a little harbor or something, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be open to the public.
Oh, yeah.
Since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, they opened it for a little while, and then they say, well, we don't like this. Let's just close it down. And it's been closed down for a decade almost or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm out there on the west side, and I got no place to launch my boat. And here these guys supposedly were open. We let them build a complex there, a hotel complex, mm-hmm. and part of the deal was that the public could come there and use the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been denied. Mm-hmm. There should be, I'm not a lawyer. I wish I was a lawyer out there on the west side. I would go, I would get damages to all the people out there for the, for their loss of, what do they call that? When they take away something that you're supposed to... not pain and suffering, but mm-hmm. The other way around. Well, it is pain and suffering. I can't go out there and use a thing. If I got definitely suffering, I got to go all the way to Honolulu or some other place to launch my boat.
Right.
And I mean, so, if I was a lawyer, I would just say, I don't care if I get paid. As long as the people get their justice out there. Because I think they're really getting a shaft job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they complain like crazy. But who I blame, too, is this guy. Head of the DNLR. He was the harbor master out there. He should know all about what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't made a peep since he got in there.
Well, he also was quoted as saying it was a fair deal. In fact, I was going to be mentioning that particular part of it and speaking to Colleen, but it was Isla's comments that originally when I discovered that it had been destroyed, the boat ramp had been destroyed, I did the research and brought this subject back to life. Unfortunately, there's an old line of thinking here. You don't want to offend anyone. You can be offended and assaulted, but even in correcting it or addressing it, you have to be polite about it. And so what happened, the reason the boat ramp is not open today is the fishermen screwed themselves after I brought them back and put their noses on the track and said, this is it. We had the Land Use Commission. I was going to file a legal action. I had an attorney that was going to take action. But the fishermen felt in the old school way to go back and start talking and, the kind. And then they got the kind.
So, yeah, well, the kind should be laid on top of them guys with a lawyer and get them, monetarily. That's the only way to hurt some people is you take some of the money away that they've connived. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even though they have connived the money, when they lose it, they still feel bad.
Now,
I just think that it's so, unjust of what's happening to the west side because it seems like it's just a huge piece of property that certain people are moving in like octopus with their hands, grabbing this, grabbing that, waiting for the big development to come swooping in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's one of the last places where they can really start building, besides, the North Shore, which you get a lot more people and uprising, what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the West Side, they're poorer, they're not as educated, and they just say, hey, this is what the hell is going to happen, and they're going to let it, happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some people out there that have a voice.
Well, the people at the West Side are very intelligent. It's just that there is an orchestrated effort on the part of Joe Jordan, Karen Iwana, Miley Shimabukuro, Colleen Hanabusa, who is screwing the people. Yeah, I mean, because, you see, no matter, the people don't have to go out and fight for something that's theirs anyway. Let's start with that. It's theirs already. It's the, you know.
Right, it's their given rights.
Right, so, but it is this political nonsense and these useless people who are sitting there to gain access to government so that they can benefit themselves, and they get appointed. You remember now, Joe Jordan originally was, what, appointed. Karen Iwana was a Republican. They let her slide and sneak into the Democratic Party, and so she got. And then you get Maile Shimabukuro, who became the senator but was a state representative. So the people are actually intelligent. I can tell you in Waianae. They're not dumb. It's
I didn't mean it.
I'm not saying that you call them dumb. It's just that I'm just laying this out. And so going back for a moment, and I'll let you how could you allow, as a state senator, Colleen Hanabusa, who bought into the Coalina property, you know, and lived there, you know, followed with her husband, and in turn suing on behalf of the association or whoever she was representing against the city in the landfill, and yet spoke nothing about the boat ramp?
Yeah, to correct the problems. she's still for herself. The thing what I meant was the people out there, they don't vote. So they cannot get some guy like, one of the, you know, the spokesman for the communities out there. Mm-hmm. There are a few of them. Them kind of people, they're the ones that are the smart guys, like you said. They're the ones that got to be in office to fight for their rights of what they have out there on the west side. Mm-hmm. They've got nobody out there fighting for their rights. The only people they got out there fighting is for development. And not right in front of their nose. It's down the line. You know, they don't want to look like the bad guy. Oh, we're trying this and that. But in other words, in the back rooms, that's all they are, is dealing. Well, we'll wait our time. Don't worry. I've got time to be my multimillionaire, and my friends will be multimillionaires. We just wait. This and that, buy this, buy that,
and the
stop
senator,
this, stop
and,
that.
And Senator Inouye is going to get up, have me appointed as a senator, so I'm not worried. You know, I'm going to screw the people. I'm going to act like I'm a thief in midnight.
Yeah, right. I get voted in.
Yeah, I don't have to worry because the senator is going to put a good word in for me and tell the governor to appoint me.
They're still going to get voted in because there's only a certain amount of people that vote.
Yeah. But I don't believe that it's just the vote. It's that when they vote people in, remember, Mufi Hanneman is a local man, right?
Yeah, he's a cop out.
Well, but I mean, did he cop out? Was that just his making? That's just his fabric. You know, it's just something, a tattered piece of fabric. And what I'm saying is that you take the landfill, we were speaking of that, and he had a benefit package, and he was giving the money to offset some of the costs or the hardship or the problems that were generated by the presence of the landfill. But what did he do? He gave it to his friends. He allowed his friends to get the money. And those people that were in front were either on the neighborhood board, right, or a former city council and what have you. So on one hand, Colleen Hanabusa represented, well, let me, I better be careful when I say represented the West Side, because apparently she didn't represent him well. But she's growing to the highest level. And nobody's pulling her coattail or our coattail to remind us that we better watch this lady because she's not behaving in the fashion. Just the kinds of people she hang out with causes concern. You know, like I say, Mary Poppins at every drug bus is...
is a bad lady. You got it. You know what I mean? A sheep and what's that? A sheep and wolf, a wolf and sheep's clothing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, if any of you disagree with me or think I'm off guilty here, it's okay. I can just tell you, anyone else would be called to the...
Yeah, be scrutinized beyond belief.
Yeah.
That she's just worked her way up, and she's put this veneer on her that she's somebody. I'm just glad that she didn't become no senator. That would have been really scary, because she's only got a couple, whatever her lifespan in the politics is not going to be so long. She's in her 60s already. So I just know we just need to educate the people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Vote and then get good candidates in every part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look for look for the state to become better, not worse.
Right.
You know what I mean? And most of the politicians, we're going to make this better. They haven't made nothing better. You know what I mean? From the word go, they go against the people, the majority.
And over there policing, we're thinking about building over here. Okay, well, first of all, let's clean out the people, the homeless. Let's get all this. And let's get the $75 million tax credit for Colleen for the aquarium. Oh, we're going to give it back. Oh, we're not going to build an aquarium. Where was Colleen Hanabusa at in that? You see? Where was she? There's just too many questions to be asked.
So much shenanigans going on out there. Like you said, that place is a hotbed of corruption as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, because they guaranteed the people out there certain kind of things, you know what I mean, that it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now they wanted a train to go there. They want an aquarium. They want all this money. If they're such an enterprising business, they don't need no outside money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're just using the taxpayers' sweat, blood, and tears to make themselves a little bit richer.
And apparently they're getting richer because I see people.
I can't see that.
But, you know, I mean, when you got Disneyland in the plan and you got all the, God only knows who else is coming. There is a, for example, now we're going to move just slightly to the east a bit, not far, to Ever Beach. I'm informed at Kapolei Golf Course, for example, which was open to the public, privately owned, but open to, I'm told now that that they're going to now cater to the Chinese tourists. And they're going to privatize the golf course in a sense that where the people that normally go there will either, they might be allowed to purchase membership, but it will be membership only, and they will not allow you to use the green putting greens or the driving range.
Yeah.
And so how did, what's the conditions? Did they get that golf course approved originally on the pretenses that, oh, the public was going to benefit and whatever, and if they are going to now privatize it.
Yeah, it's a long, that was a long-term thing set in it. Oh, we'll give them this, think they're going to get this, and then in the end we're going to have the Everplane, nothing but like maybe 30,000 really rich Chinese guys. They got their golf course, they got their own boat harbor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what these guys envision. You know what I mean? Because it's the money.
Yeah.
The talks and everything else is all BS.
And so you get the golf course approved, and, well, we're going to let the public as well. And then you take Colino. Oh, if you allow us to develop here, and we're going to build a parking area and a launch ramp for the people, and immediately they tore it down after a while, and then boom. And now the people are struggling. And where's Colleen Hanabusa? That in its self alone is enough to cause me concern that she picks and chooses who has the money, but the people she should be serving is the people who vote her in.
Yeah, that whole place out there has been a mark against, you know, developers. You know,
mm-hmm.
what I mean? You can do, look at, this is the kind of situation that can happen anywhere on this island.
Yeah.
The developer can come in, say one thing, and down the line, the next thing you know, they are totally 180 degree opposite.
And
you know what I mean?
And the benefit.
And who suffers is the little guy, the guy out there just struggling along five, six days a week, busting his butt just to make, you know, the bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have a little bit of pleasure in paradise. And day by day, these developers and these people with all the big money are taking it away from us. We better get a bit smart out there, especially, like I said, the people on the west side. They better teach your kids. The main thing you got to do in life out here is vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Besides go surf and have fun, you know, go fish and stuff, you got to learn how to vote.
Yeah.
And, you know, make good choices and who you vote for.
Yeah, but you look at the evening traffic going into Nanakuya. And
I pity them people.
But they're sitting in traffic for an extra 35, 40 minutes, and Colleen gets to drive through a locked gate.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? It's not always like that. And, you know, 35, 40 minutes, that's 5 days, 6 days a week. You add that up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's this time that you wasted productive time. You give your children money, do that. So this is from us in every different direction, every avenue you go down,
mm-hmm.
you're taking a little chunk out of us, chipping away, you know, till you're just like a slave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know what the answer is, but I'll start at Colina and say, well, Colleen Hanabusa, you fail the people, but maybe you didn't fail them. You never intended to serve them. Somewhere you got cockeyed in your growth as a, you saw the, you know.
Yeah.
Like what they say about Jesse Jackson Jr. I mean, his timing, it was all about timing, and I guess it's true because he, what, bought him a $43,000 watch?
Yeah, that guy. He's way off there. He must have taken some kind of weird drug, man, to make him do stuff like that.
Yeah, but again, what about Colleen Hanabusa? Who on this
drug is money, power.
Who on this planet would buy property or live in property in a locked, gated community and screwing the people and taking away a resource that is clearly theirs as part of a legal agreement that it was binding? And she hadn't raised one voice to speak to that. But yet, any other issues, she was out there on the forefront for the money.
Yeah. You know, if you look at anybody that's just any person you're going along, you grow up as a child, you get certain ethics, you know, mm-hmm. talk to you and stuff like that. You go to school. So every one of these politicians, when they went into politics, they have ulterior motives. And don't let anybody fool you about that.
Mm-hmm.
They may be good ulterior motives, or they may be bad. And the person is either good or bad. There's no in between, really.
Yeah.
You can't be half good and half bad, pal.
Yeah.
You got to be a pono. Like the people say, you got to do something that's good all the time if you're always good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think, like, she looks like she did something good, but in reality, it was only for herself, so it was bad. It's just tricking us.
Well,
I think she's just a bad politician. She lied to everybody. You know what I mean? And it ain't going to catch up because now she's in a situation where it's almost impossible to uproot her from where she's at.
I don't think so. I think that if we look at her collection of friends and her collection of associates and the deals that she's made, if we gave it a clear and a respectable investigation, I think we could easily conclude just in her overt actions alone and her neglect or her failure to act would be sufficient to just draw the conclusion she has no place in government.
Well, I hope the people out there think like you do, man, because I think there's a lot of people out there that think like you, but they don't vote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. To uproot her, you're going to have to get them people that know what's going on, know about her, mm-hmm. and you got to get them to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to get her out of there. She's got, what, it's only 2 years, huh? You know, it's only a 2-year seat. So she's got like 19 months or 17 months or whatever it is left before she can be voted out. So we got to be doing footwork now, them people out there in her district, to get her out of there.
But
any other way, it's just the same thing is going to keep perpetuating. People are going to keep going downhill, losing more and more of their rights, losing more and more of their avenues of having a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm bothered that her repeated relationships and these real deals with the various assortment of people.
You got a laundry list of all these people that are just totally what they call dirty, as far as I'm concerned. They've made their money on other people's backs, you know what I mean, and whatever connive ways they've got it, you know what I mean. It wasn't like they busted their ass all their life,
mm-hmm.
and they've come up, you know what I mean. Most of them been handed to them, or do a sweet deal, or, you know, something like else. Most people that get to a position like that had to do something that was, you know,
mm-hmm.
shady, unsavory, illegal, as far as I'm concerned, to get to where they're at. You know, mm-hmm. There's very few honest politicians. I really is.
Well,
the way I look at it, you got to bend to, you know, some kind of, you know, skullduggery to get to where they're at. Yeah, most of them.
Yeah, but again, who is really affected by this is the people, and as you're saying, they should vote, but it's like trying to focus on a moving target. You don't really know the real Colleen because there's something, a darker side of her. You just can't. Lights should have gone off, or alarm should have said, I can't take this. I can't.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I can't be projecting or be presenting myself with these kinds of people. I can't. You know, there's just too many questions. And then to say, as a congressperson, not that you're perfect, but as a person who's representing people and you're being paid for it and you're promising to do what's right, something's troubling about that.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't think she's ever going to turn around. And like you said, we just got to get, like, hey, there may be a chance. You never can tell. Just let her keep acting, you know, the way she's been acting, and she's losing people. You know, but them people that voted for her, they're money people to themselves, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And a lot of the people that voted for her, they're just not the common guy. They're people that got something invested in what she may be doing or their own little scam going on.
Mm-hmm. And so I look at her and I really get nervous when I hear that, and I don't know how factual it is, that she's thinking about coming back and running against Neil Abercrombie because he's nervous that she's going to run. And I'm thinking to myself, both of them should be nervous because they both have no place in government as far as I'm now learning to see, because their relationships, their actions, the decision did not benefit people. The voting population.
Yeah.
Special interest is what...
Don't even get me started on Abercrombie. I campaigned for him for months, and I thought he was going to make a difference, but he's made it worse.
Yeah? Can I get you to repeat that on the Carol... You campaigned for him for how long?
For months. And I was one of the guys up there on the Poly Highway at 5:30, me and another one of my friends, a union guy.
Is that right?
We were up there at 5:30, so we went up there for an hour... 15 minutes every morning for about 2 months. And then before I campaigned out in Waikai for him with another friend of mine. I thought, you know, because he was like my generation, that the guy would, you know, and he's been through kind of stuff that I had been through in life, that he would look forward to, you know, correcting things that I'd seen way back then or are still happening bad now.
Right.
This old stuff been going on for eons. Just let it keep on rolling. Now I got my agenda. That's what I look at him as. He jumped in with his way to make things better, and it's only for his friends it came out to be.
So
you said all these politicians didn't walk into office. They got carried in by their friends.
Yeah, and you stood up on the Poly and waved signs for Neil Abercrombie. You're a good man. You're a good man.
I've been a bad, you know, I voted for other people too that were bad. You scolded me because, hey, I vote, and I think I have faith sometimes. Hey, maybe this can happen.
Yeah.
There's always a 50-50 chance. I go at it like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then sometimes you lose on the 50-50.
Yeah,
it's just like we're a roll of the dice, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I guess now you're probably, going to go to the North Shore, starting on Cayenne Point to run for the campaign for Neil?
No. I got an own campaign in my own community to run for something in a steering committee and stuff. I gotta be more focused on what's right on my backside instead of what's down the road.
Yeah, I believe the best campaign is to have them to tell us what they have done and show us that they won't have friendships with special interests because...
we should have a paperwork before you are elected. Even before you run, that I will stop all my associations with such and such multi-billionaires. Will not take money from them. You know, that's the main thing. You take your money only from the average guy and not from the big donors. If that could stop, then them guys would be shut down pretty fast.
Hey, Bob, here's one thing I'd like to point out. I think that you and I probably would never mention this publicly because we don't want anybody else to hear it, but let's talk about it. You know what's really discerning or causes alarm in me? Is that the majority of these guys pulling this sneakiness and this behavior, they're Democrats.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Oh, I don't hate to admit it. I've been duped. But they're not to say that the Republicans, I'm going to invite them to my next birthday party. But these are Democrats. Guys that are, you can't tell them from the fat rat that's crawling in the back of the restaurant now.
Right.
You really can't. Greasy, slimy, slick, and got their hands out looking to Asian nations and everybody else. Come on, bring it on. We
but
can screw the people. Yeah. Yeah. Because if things are going to hell in the handbasket anyway, so I might as well get some, screw the rest of the people. Grease my palm, you know, and this is what the game is about now. Democrats, not Republicans, let's not confuse it, liberals who
well,
can't
you something that, that I would like to not say that we should talk about is that at times I have really seriously thought about voting for a Republican, you know what I mean, against these guys just to beat them. But I go, nah, your vote will mean nothing. What's his hope for this guy will be true to what his, you know, his beliefs are and ideas that, you know, this trip is all about, really. Because when the, most of these Democrats, like you said, when they get in office, they just change the other face, man. Like, well, I'm yeah. for myself now, pal.
Yeah,
the
what's
hell with the little guy?
What's in a yeah. name? What's in a name? It's I'm Democrat. You can trust me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. like putting it's the equivalent of nowadays taking a crossing guard who kidnaps for a living, that's what they're doing. Oh, you can trust me. You put me in office, and then the door closed, or we're doing this behind executive rules, and, yeah. and we can't. And then you're screwed.
It's never going to reach the newspaper what they're talking about in the back door, back
right.
rooms.
Right, and the newspaper have Mufi Hanneman having breakfast with the editorial staff and the editorial and part of the publication, the heads of the newspaper on his election committee, and you know, I'm sorry, man, it's
that's worse than communism. You know what I mean? Because it's like blatant, and they can get away with it. And, I mean, it's
yeah.
the same thing as like communists. Well, we're going to rig everything, and we're going to tell you we're going to rig everything. Then you guys, they do it too. They meet with these rich people and everything. It's just like, hey, you know what's coming down the pipe. You know what I mean? Once you see all these guys, like, once you see all them big donations, you know that mm-hmm. this is going to turn out bad for the common guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they are not bothered by the appearance of being having improprieties or illegal deals or questionable deals. They don't care anymore. There's because you get to approve and appoint the ethics commissioners, or you get to do this and that, and then they are beholden to you, and you're not beholden to the people. So it has become a game that has spun out of control.
Yeah, well, like you said, once they start, they can't get back out.
Yeah.
The rewards and the glory and all the other things that are, you know, the bad traits of men just set in on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, I'd like to mention one thing before I go. You said you used to cruise around the Channel Islands, huh?
Yeah.
That's the most beautiful place. Anacapa, I used to fish out there, man. Once you go out there, you really know what beauty is like.
Well, Anacapa was where everybody flocked. I patrol the San Nicolas. Santa Rosa, yeah, oh yeah, San Miguel, and all of that area where the abalone was as large as an army helmet.
Ah, they were stealing. Okay, you were checking hard on fees. All right.
No. It was, and where you wake up at nighttime and you have the boat light on, the patrol boat light on, and you see billions of those red crabs. Remember those when they?
Yeah, I remember that. That's one of the main food bases out there. That's why the fishing is so phenomenal out there.
Oh yeah, and you see sunfish sunning themselves, and you know.
Oh, that's really trippy. Yeah, they're exotic. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very rare to see them.
Oh yeah. So yeah, but you know, and again, we see our natural resources here being squandered right here in Hawaii because
man, they're destroying the base of the food chain over here.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. All the netting of the coolie and all the smaller fish. You can't keep taking the little baby fish and expect the larger predators to prosper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You
got
to have the bottom of the food chain. Like you said, the little red crabs, the squid. I mean, all these other things that, you know, make the food web, you know, work.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have them, eventually it's going to catch up to us. And we're going to have nothing out here to sustain ourselves on.
But we will always be able to drive by Colleen and say, hi, Colleen. Hi,
yeah.
Neil. Hi, Mufi. Hi, all you guys. You did well for yourselves.
Did well for themselves. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
My friend.
Okay.
You have a good day. I hope somebody else gets on and has a good conversation. And have a good week. And I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. And don't show up on the poly, okay?
If you're running, I'll be up there, brother.
No, don't do that. If I'm running, you darn sure don't go up there because I've gotten ill and sick and gotten corrupted. So don't.
Okay, well.
Just say hello.
Alrighty. We're one of the few voices in this state that know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, I'll try. Anyway, well, thank you. And we went off, didn't we? So.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Aloha.
Bye.
Anyway, folks, this is something that inside of me, I know a lot more, and I'm going to task myself with going and getting the information. And if you're interested, I'm going to post some of it up. But I am curious to know why Congresswoman or Colleen Hanabusa is keeping the company and having this kind of relationship. And it just seems to be there's something about it that causes me alarm. As an individual, I think we deserve better. We know that that Boat Harbor matter at Coalina may be some innocuous thing to many of you, but it speaks to the entire political laziness or the affairs that have been developed and invented, or I don't know. You have to invent them because you get Jeff Stone, who attracts Todd Oppo, who was a city council, and then you got Colleen Hanabusa, who is a senator and Senate president, and then you have all of these questions and activities occurring, and she's suing on behalf, but never spoke up on behalf of the community, Nanakuli, Waianae, and those areas. When she didn't speak up, she should have asked for an investigation of the fraud of the benefit package, or the landfill benefit package. She didn't raise a voice. She showed up nowhere on the radar. Many issues out there. The use of the natural resources there, the collection of boats that's chasing the dolphins and all of those things, generating revenue, but is it generating revenue for the people along that coast? Is it enhancing their lives? You know, that line of traffic, those hours of waiting and the 40 minutes of waiting in traffic in the evening, those people are not coming from Coalina to after they worked. So it didn't generate the jobs that they claim. So where are they coming from? So really, not much benefit. Anyway, there was much more to talk about, but on that, and I will be sharing it and asking questions and going over to the federal to the court and pulling up those records and see what kind of summary judgment they're going to look for on George Grace, and hopefully I'll get back with you. Aloha, and I'll see you next week.
Georgiana, sweet as any peach on a tree. When we're together, walking side by side, I feel so proud passing the crowd. My heart just bumped with pride. Sweet Georgiana, after all the saying is done, you are the sweetness underneath the sun, rolled into one. I dreamed of orange blossom, you know the sign. So Georgiana, tell me when you're gonna be mine.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.